Welcome, everyone, to the November 2019 AdHeart Call, Inspiring Forward Movement and Heart-Powered Intention. This is Deborah Rossman, and our theme this month is AdHeart to Refresh and Amplify Gratitude. And we chose that theme, of course, because Thanksgiving in the USA is approaching, and it's the start of the holiday season of gift-giving. Many religions and cultures have holidays in the next month, and often this is the time of the year where people with sharing and caring have a little more appreciation for each other and for what's happening in the holiday season. And, you know, refreshing and amplifying gratitude often, for me, remembers to do it and not just be dependent upon somebody giving me a warm smile or acknowledging me for something or that parking spot opening up in the parking lot, but really remembering to intentionally put it out myself, put out gratitude. And the last few days here in California, we have had fires and our electricity was shut down, and I was without electricity or house for 4 days. And you know, it's been back on for 2 days, and my appreciation for that convenience of electricity is huge. So that really amplified my gratitude. But so much can happen in life where things don't go our way, and the importance of refreshing our gratitude even in those times for our health and well-being and for how we feel. So my guest this month is my longtime dear friend Marcy Shimoff, a number one New York Times bestselling author of Happy for No Reason and the book Love for No Reason and Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul. And she's co-founder of Your Year of Miracles and just a wonderful, heartfelt, appreciative human being. Welcome, Marcy.
Thank you, Debbie. It's always so wonderful to get to be with you.
Well, this theme is something you and I have talked a lot about over the years, because appreciation and gratitude really uplift us, and I know they mean a lot to you, and especially in the research you did in your book on happiness and happy for no reason. You talk about how gratitude affects our happiness set point, and what is a happiness set point?
So in all my research on happiness, it's so wonderful that there's a lot of research about happiness these days, that science is really starting to crack the happiness code, and we know what it takes for people to be happier, which to me is fantastic news. I think that should be headline news, because happiness is what people have always wanted. And what we found is that, to me, out of all the research, the most exciting is that we all have what's called a happiness set point, as you mentioned, and it's like a thermostat setting. And what it means is, no matter what happens to us, whether it's good or bad, we will tend to hover around that thermostat setting or happiness set point unless we do something consciously to change it. So the happiness set point is really the key to us being happier. And so you wonder, well, how's the happiness set point determined? And it's very simple. It's three components. It's 50% genetic. And, you know, the genes, it's your DNA. It's 10% our circumstances. Now, that is a very small piece of the pie, 10%, yet that's what everybody is focused on to try to raise their happiness or be happier, is they're focusing on, what do I get? How do I change my circumstances to be happier? But it's only 10% of the whole set point formula. The other 40% is our habits of thoughts and behavior. And that's what we can really focus on to raise our happiness set point. And I'm going to take it a step further and say that in the field of epigenetics, there are very fast-growing field of science called epigenetics. And our good friend, Debbie, Dr. Bruce Lipton, is a pioneer in the field of epigenetics. And what they found is that even our genes can be influenced or changed when we change our habits of thoughts and behavior. And what that means is that up to 90% then of our happiness set point can be influenced by our habits of thoughts and behavior. And of all of those habits, I've done a lot of research. I found that there are 21 habits. And of all of those, I would say the fast track to raising your happiness set point is gratitude.
Yeah, that is what we have found with heart math research too. You know, the different heart qualities that we can breathe through the heart that change our heart rate variability, get us into more of that heart rhythm coherence. Genuinely felt gratitude or appreciation are often the quickest. They give us an uplift, and I mean, they're like an instant injection of hormones, so that are uplifting. And they're some of the easiest qualities of the heart that can not only give us a lift and bring happiness, but begin to increase our coherence baseline, which I'm sure is related to the happiness set point.
Yes, yes. And as you know, and happy for a reason, I speak a good amount about all of the wonderful research that you've done with heart math. And I quote all of your research all of the time. And I think that this, the where we put our attention has an enormous impact on our happiness set point. It's just a huge piece. And there's the old saying, what you appreciate appreciates. What you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. So when you are putting your attention on gratitude, that's what you will get. You will get more of what it is you're grateful for. It's where your energy goes. And that's what's going to grow more in your life. And I believe that's why gratitude is such an important component of raising your happiness set point.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the whole thing about getting that focus of intention to consciously practice it instead of waiting for the electricity to turn back on, the 10%, you know, of our circumstances.
Yes. Right.
And it's really important. And I think that's why the popularity these last few years of people keeping gratitude journals. I know families that instead of sitting around the dinner table, like what happened in school today with their kids, and they go, nothing. You know, it's like, what are one or two things that we could be grateful for today? And then you have to kind of search in your heart of what were the couple things that really meant a lot to you and find something. And I think it's wonderful because that starts to change the ho-hum of, oh, nothing happened. And it helps children and adults to really focus, as you're saying, on what was positive for them and pause to have gratitude for it. And I think that is so important for our outlook on life as well as for building our heart-brain alignment and our higher brain potentials as well as our how well we feel emotionally.
You know, I completely agree with that, and I'm inspired by, I interviewed a lot of people when I was writing Happy for No Reason, and one of the women I interviewed, she has a practice that I think is a great practice, and she pretends that she is the Academy Awards Committee, and that her job every day is to give out at least 5 Academy Awards. So she is on the lookout for the good. She is consciously, intentionally being on the lookout for what it is that she can appreciate. And so she may be out for a walk in the park and she sees a really cute, fluffy white dog, and she'll either internally to herself or to the owner of the dog give that dog the cutest dog of the day award. You know, she may go up to the person and say, that is the cutest dog I've seen today. She's appreciating her environment. She's on the lookout for the appreciation. And that's the first step to me, is to really be on the lookout for it. And if you've got kids, I think that's a great little game to play with kids, is, you know, let's pretend we're giving out 5 Academy Awards today. That's the most beautiful sunset of the month. You know, just what it does is it brings your attention to what's good. The other thing, though, that this does is another friend of both of ours, Dr. Rick Hansen, who's written a book called Hardwiring Happiness, has said that we need to savor the good for at least 20 seconds for it to create new brain activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine the same with heart rhythms. Heart rhythm coherence is, it's not enough to just see a sunset and say, okay, that's pretty. But to actually take it in and receive it takes 20 seconds to receive what's good out there.
Yes, you know, activating heart coherence, what we found is, you know, you can activate it through breathing an attitude of gratitude through your heart. But you have to really feel it for the heart rhythm to shift into that coherent waveform, meaning it has to be genuine, not a sort of required courtesy, thank you, but a real genuine feeling of gratitude. And it does take, you know, probably 20, 30 seconds of heart rhythm coherence before the brain synchronizes to the heart rhythm. You know, I don't know the exact number, but I always tell people to breathe through the heart, get your heart rhythm more coherent, and know that in a certain period of time it's going to actually entrain the brain waves, open up your higher cognitive centers to see a bigger picture, have more connection to your heart's intuitive guidance. And those are just some benefits of activating gratitude and amplifying it, because it amplifies not only how you feel biochemically and the hormonal uplift, but just like you were saying, the brain. You know, there's other research that is coming out. And again, I wish this was broadcast throughout the world, but when people are genuinely grateful, it's been shown to predict a lower risk of major depression, anxiety disorders, substance abuse, phobias. You know, all of those disorders tend to be built upon the focus, as you said, on some negative experience or projections in our lives, and what we give attention to builds. We amplify that until it turns into an actual physiological nervous system disorder. But when we have genuine gratitude, we rebalance our nervous system, and it connects us with our larger self, who we really are. And it's also been associated in a study with high satisfaction with life, that you have a sense that your life has meaning, and it's been scientifically positively correlated with authentic living. Now, who wouldn't want all those benefits with just a little genuine intentional practice of looking for what you can be grateful for, the good in your life, and finding the glass half full in more situations? And it doesn't have to be, it can't be pretend. It has to be a genuine, wow, let me look at it this way, and that realization that you really can authentically be grateful for that aspect of your life.
Yeah, you know, it's remarkable to me about the research that's been done on gratitude and the power of gratitude. And it's not hard. It's not a hard thing to do. I mean, Robert Emmons from University of California, Davis, found that people who kept a gratitude journal of what they were grateful for, within 30 days, their happiness set point was raised. Right. They had better health. They were more optimistic. And as you say, it's got to be genuine. It can't be fake. But what I find interesting, Debbie, is that there are, I talk to people about gratitude and looking for gratitude in three ways. The first is gratitude for what you have that's easy to be grateful for. You know, yes, it's easy to be grateful for your health, or it may be easy to be grateful for a friendship. So spend some time focusing on what's easy for you to be grateful for. But the second area to focus on gratitude is focus on gratitude even for what I call the icky stuff. And this to me is sort of the PhD program in gratitude. Hmm. And that is, what I found is, wherever I speak, I ask people, how many of you have ever had a challenge or a crisis in your life? And everybody raises their hand. And then I say, well, for how many of you, was that actually a blessing? You look back a year later and it's a blessing. And everybody raises their hand. And the trick is to have gratitude right now for even the challenging and the icky stuff. What I found is that the happiest people have a sense that this is a loving universe. You know, Einstein said the most important question we could ask ourselves is this a benevolent universe? And the people who say yes are the happiest. And that doesn't mean that everything goes your way. What it means is that you have a belief, a feeling that whatever is happening in some way will be for a greater good for you, that there's a lesson or a gift in everything. And so really the PhD program in gratitude is if you can have gratitude even for the icky stuff. And that means deeply feeling like, okay, this is a challenge right now for me, but I'm grateful that I have the support around me of my friends. I'm grateful that this is stretching me in a particular way. So feeling gratitude for the icky stuff is a great thing. And then the third area that I suggest people have gratitude in is gratitude for what's coming. Gratitude for what it is you want to be bringing into your life. So it's kind of advanced gratitude. You know, gratitude, if you're, let's say you're working to perhaps lose some weight, it's gratitude for the lost weight. It's gratitude for what you feel a month from now, moving into the future for future gratitude. So if you can focus on those three areas, gratitude for what's easy, gratitude for the icky, and gratitude in advance for the future, then I think those are three ways that you can intentionally bring gratitude, more gratitude into your life.
Well, that's beautifully said. And one of the ways to really appreciate what you're calling the icky or the things that aren't comfortable, whether it's health, relationship, work, or whatever, is to use that intelligence you have, because most of us have had an experience in the past that really was painful or uncomfortable. But like you said, later on you see the benefit of it. You see the puzzle piece of it, and you grew from it, or you're so glad that you're not in that relationship or work situation or whatever anymore. And recalling that experience can help build the trust in your own heart and that belief you're saying that the universe is beneficial, that it's working for your higher good. And that helps a lot if we really recall on our heart intelligence of what we can remember. The other thing that I love in what you're saying is about looking in the future and feeling, putting out the heart energy, that's what add heart means, into your intentions, or heart powering your intention of how you want to feel or see an outcome, but not being attached to it, because you can't always control that. But being able to put the heart into the vision and then release it to the universe or not be attached, I have found is some of the best ways to actually surf through all the changes, because and actually be able to create more of what I really feel is in alignment with my true self. And this is a great time of year to talk about this, because the holidays coming up and everything changing so much in the world situation, it's so easy to get stressed and get into overcare and forget about appreciation and gratitude. They seem idealistic when you're stressed and they go out the window. And we have a lot of compensatory behaviors. Sometimes we are overgiving from overcare, and we are also can't receive care because we're too cut off from our own heart. How do you talk about those issues when you work with people?
So what I've found is that the happiest people are those who are equally as comfortable receiving as they are in giving, that they know that receiving is a gift. A receiving, when we receive, we're actually giving the gift of receiving to whomever we're receiving from.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say, oh, I'm really good at giving, but I can't receive, what my sense is, when you're kind of in overcare or overgiving, it's more you're giving for something. You're giving to, in very subtle, you know, it's very subtle, but it's, I'm giving so that people will like me, or, I'm giving so I can feel good about myself. Right. And so what I found is that people who are the most self-loving have a sense of, I give appropriately, I give in balance, and I receive appropriately, and I receive in balance. So I would just suggest, especially as we come into the holidays, that you ask yourself when you're giving, is this a true giving right now, or is this a giving because I want somebody to like me or I want approval? And if it's the second, to stop and ask, now, where would my true giving come from here? And give to that extent. And then also give to yourself. It is not selfish to give to yourself. It's not, it's critical. You know, self-care is to me the basis of all giving. And so really be very aware of your own self-care and recognize that that is as important as any giving to anybody else.
You know, I would add to that, too, appreciating yourself. For those of us, you know, who are on the path, so to speak, of personal growth or spiritual growth, we can be so self-judgmental, self-critical, because we're not doing things as perfectly as we would like, or we get feedback on something. And it's so important, remember, to appreciate your progress. Really look at it. Appreciate yourself for even making the effort, because that really amplifies your gratitude for others as well, if you can appreciate yourself. So I wanted to underline that from what you're talking about, too, in self-care.
I agree wholeheartedly. I totally agree with that.
We have to remind each other on that one, don't we?
That's a good one. You know, Debbie, as we're going into the holidays, I have a practice that I've done every year for many years at my Thanksgiving dinners or at a holiday dinner, and I'd love to share that if that seems appropriate.
Please do, yeah.
You know, I love holiday food as much as anybody does, but I found that there's a certain, when I would go to Thanksgiving dinners and it was just, okay, let's eat and let's, you know, be thankful for what we have to eat and that's it. There was a certain, something was missing in my heart. And so about 20 years ago, maybe even more, we instituted in our family a practice called the Appreciation Feast. So along with having a Thanksgiving feast, we would do an appreciation feast, and we would go around the table and start with, let's say, my mother, and everyone would say, one thing I appreciate about you is, to my mother. And she would feel very full after that, and then we would move to the next person and go around and say, one thing I appreciate about, you know, my sister, and until we got all the way around the table. I remember the first time we did that, my father said, Marcy, one thing I appreciate about you is your deep intuition. Now, I didn't even know my dad knew the word intuition, let alone acknowledge that or saw that in me. And it was such a beautiful experience. One year we videotaped it, and my parents are no longer with us, and that's such a precious videotape to have of all of us appreciating each other. There's not a dry eye in the house. And so that is that's a practice that you may want to incorporate in your holiday dinner. One suggestion is don't do it before the first meal because everybody's hungry and wanting to get to that hot food. You might want to do it right before dessert.
Oh, what a great idea. Oh, that's beautifully said. You know, HeartMath, we're doing some conversation and partnering with people who came to us years ago. It's called Appreciative Inquiry. And they work with corporations as well and incorporating HeartMath into their processes. But everything is so related to pausing and actually making space and time in the workplace, and like you're saying, in the home, to actually intentionally and consciously appreciate some value that you see in another person. And it's very uplifting. And like you said, everybody wants that. Everybody wants to both be appreciative and to receive it.
So, you know, it's the number one thing that people want in the workplace is to be appreciated.
That's right.
I've often recommended the same practice for people having a team meeting, to start your team meeting going around and having everybody appreciate in a round robin like that, the appreciation feast.
Well, the research is showing that, I mean, Forbes magazine said that people want that more than even a raise unless they're,
yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Marcy. Let's close today with everyone with a heart-focused meditation to energize our intentional practice of appreciation and gratitude over the next month to uplift ourselves and others through the holidays, through the month, when we start to feel stressed, Go back to appreciating someone, something, especially yourself. So let's focus our attention in the area of the heart. And let's just breathe in a feeling of gratitude for someone or something in your life to activate our heart rhythm coherence. Just do this for a few breaths. Now, as you continue breathing in gratitude, ask yourself, where could I express more gratitude or appreciation in my life? And to whom? See what your heart's intuition tells you. It could be work associate, family, friends, higher self, appreciate life, God. Ask your heart. And you can radiate and send from your heart appreciation to that person, place, situation, whatever came to you. Just radiate some appreciative heart energy to that. Now let's close by radiating heart energy into a reservoir, that appreciative energy that we can each draw on at any time to amplify our own feelings of gratitude or appreciation throughout this month, to have our heart's intuitive guidance prompt us when we're judging or overcaring or stuck in the little picture of what's wrong, and to prompt us to shift to finding something to be grateful or appreciative of in it. So let's create that reservoir of heart energy, radiate our appreciation into it. So much of amplifying gratitude and appreciation is remembering to do it, remembering to access that reservoir, remembering what your heart told you in this little heart meditation. So I invite you to write down your insights when this call is over and review them. Review them and practice it so that we can individually and collectively amplify gratitude and appreciation, and that will help raise consciousness in the field environment of wherever we are and contribute to the wholeness over this next month. So the next call will be Tuesday, December 17th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And I want to thank you so much, Marcy, for joining me in this discussion and appreciation fest that we had.
Thank you. Felt very, very good to be with you and with everybody here together in the zone of appreciation and gratitude.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone on this call or listening to the recording. You have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you next month. Take care.